What to watch for heading into week one. Is DK Metcalf still the wide receiver one? Didn't even plan that rhyme. I love it. Today we're going to be breaking down the NFC version of our week one, what to watch for, and early waiver wire pickups potentially on this show. Before we do, we want to make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. Make sure you also check us out on IG and TikTok as well at Razzball Fantasy. We have daily content going out there as well. But of course, make sure you go into razzball.com. No joke, we have a bunch of great articles dropping every day from all our new, we have brand new writers, we have old writers coming back, we have a bunch of new content over on razzball.com, so go check it out. And plus, we're excited to announce we'll have brand new tools all season long that you can utilize to help you pick the right start sits. And finally, our Sunday Live Start Sit Show every single Sunday. Join us live from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. PST. So make sure you're jumping on there. Let's start the show. All right, folks, look who's back. I love it. Back-to-back days. We got Keelan Blue. You can follow her on Twitter at Keelan_12. What's going on, Keelan?
Not much, Bobby. Good to see you again tonight. Our regular time. We're going to have to get tea or something here and have a setup.
Thank you. Honestly, a nice tea and fantasy football, they go to, it's like perfect together. I like it. So that's a
great
idea.
Bring a little class to the police.
All right. You know? Love it. I like it. Yeah. So I'm excited. Yesterday we covered the NFC players to watch, situations to watch. Some of these things are just question marks. We don't know. A lot of these teams didn't even play in the regular preseason, like the Rams. Like, how healthy is Cam Akers and Henderson? Like, what's the deal with the Matthew Stafford? Like, do we even know? This is going to be our first action. Today, our homework assignment was to pick two each, and we also have a couple topics we'll talk about later. So let's just get right into it. Your first one you want to talk about is that Marcus Mariota's impact in Atlanta and returning with Arthur Smith. So what's your thoughts on Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, so if you're a regular tuning into
can't
this
hear
show.
You. Oh, are you muted?
No,
you
I'm not.
You again?
I don't think so.
There you go. You're good.
Can you hear me?
You're
okay.
Back.
Cool.
You're good.
Yeah, yeah. So last night shared my Titans fandom with a focus on the Titans. I was around for Marcus Mariota days when he was drafted into the Tennessee Titans, when he was with Arthur Smith on the Titans. And since that time, we've watched Marcus Mariota have a rough time, quite frankly. He's gone to the Raiders. Are you having trouble hearing me again? Interesting. You can hear me.
I can hear you now.
Okay. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We've watched him go all over the place. And now he was under Derek Carr for a little bit, doing a little weird kind of Taysom Hill thing where sometimes he was maybe the backup quarterback. Other times he was sort of like a wide receiver. And now he finally is back with a starting job with the Falcons, which is, for me, interesting. Overall, I will say this is kind of one of those question mark things you mentioned. It is kind of like, how is it going to go for him? And kind of coming off of that, you know, is also the Falcons wide receiver situation. So obviously last season they lost Calvin Ridley due to some of the gambling he was doing while he was off the field. It was back in November of 2021. So now they're kind of figuring out what to do with those positions. Drake London ended up getting the number one spot for wide receivers. He's ADP 96, wide receiver 39. And backing him up, who I'm also really interested in, is Olamide Zaccheaus, who's all the way at ADP 341, wide receiver 110. I'm interested in watching him, just even though he's pretty deep and obviously not somebody you'd necessarily want to. He would be a very, very deep pick. He's only 5'8". 193 pounds. He went undrafted, but during the preseason in one of their games, he was the only one to get a touchdown. So I'm kind of interested now that he has this spot to see how he's going to do. And again, it's a question mark, but always interested to see somebody that might break out. I don't know that he will. I don't necessarily think he will, but I'm there to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually just really excited to see what Marcus Mariota can do himself. I actually think that he can, if he utilizes his legs, he has Pitts, he has Drake London. I think there's enough talent around him. If he utilizes legs, get you close to that 40, 50 rushing yards a game, I think we're talking, some solid production from him.
Yep.
We actually have another guest popping on. I mean, I nice. Like it. Gladys, what's going on? Coming in, love it. Yes. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We are excited. I like it. We're going to get you right in. Sorry, no time to, right live on TV. We're getting you going right now. So, Gladys, we're going to talk about the first one. You're talking about a little revenge in this game. One of the things you're excited to look for in the NFC is Mike Evans gets revenge on Trayvon Diggs. Will it happen? What are your thoughts on this situation?
That it's not going to happen. Evans is still hurt, I think. Evans is still limping around. This is when Diggs got started last year on his historic interception streak. I don't see Mike Evans getting any revenge. I see Diggs. I don't know that Diggs is going to necessarily keep him as low as he kept him last year. What was it? It was 3 receptions, 24 yards.
Yeah.
And 6 targets.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yep. I don't see the offense of the Bucks gelling like on the first game. Brady's been out for about 11 games because he's 45 years old and he has shit to do. And then,
Yeah,
we all do. And then I think Diggs is in for a regression, and I think it starts Sunday. How can he – 11 interceptions? Come on. He's not going to get 11 interceptions. And I'm sure that Brady's not going to throw his way. And he only covered him. He didn't even cover him on the whole thing. Revenge on Mike Evans, no. Mike Evans will not be getting revenge this game. That is a quick answer to your question. Diggs only covered him on 39 of 47 routes last year. So I don't see him covering him any more than that. Evans might have his day, but it's not going to be against Trevon Diggs.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Diggs seems like he's either going to get an interception or allow like a 50-yard touchdown. Seems like to be his range of outcomes
bust
on there.
Yeah, he's your boomer bust guy, and he's not going to tackle you. So once you catch the ball, you're good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's jump down to my first one. I want to talk about. I'm excited to see Trey Lance, his impact on San Francisco. So now, of course, the main guys are taking him mostly. You know, Ayuk's drafted everywhere, Debo's drafted everywhere, Kittle. What I'm actually interested to see though is Trey Lance didn't look too great throwing the ball in the preseason. He, made some explosive plays, but he was a little inconsistent with his accuracy. Now, I think from a fantasy standpoint, I love Trey Lance because he's going to run the football. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing for the other players on this team. Now, if Trey Lance struggles with accuracy early on in the year, do they lean more on Elijah Mitchell and that running game along with Trey Lance and his legs? But that means does the volume come down for guys like Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle? So my thing is I really want to see how he performs the first game of the year under the lights. Can he perform on prime time and get it done? Because if he's starting to struggle and we're starting to see Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle's, their fantasy output, because Kittle was a 5th-round pick, Debo a 2nd-round pick, Ayuk in the 8th, could you trade them for name value based on the fact that people still think they're elite based on their situation? So I do think there is something to watch there, and I am interested to see what happens in that game. Let's jump down to your next one, Keelan. Go ahead.
Do you think that Trey Lance is on a short leash?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that's the case. So Jimmy G did come back, but there seems like a lot of discussion that, Trey Lance is our guy. I think Kyle Shanahan, what he's going to do, worst case scenario, is turn Trey Lance into RG3 and say, all right, we're going to use your legs a lot. You're not going to throw for a lot of passing yards or anything like that. But I think that's the worst case scenario. So I do think there's still plenty of opportunity. Kick it over to Keelan right now. I think the question a lot of people want to know, who's going to be the wide receiver one in New Orleans? And I know that's something you want to talk about here. So let's hear your thoughts on what you're looking for in week one.
Yeah. So now flipping to the other side of the field away from the Falcons, we'll be the Saints. So super excited for this traditionally nasty rivalry. there might be some dirty bird chanting, maybe some throwing of eggs. We don't know. Michael Thomas is back, sort of. He is ADP overall 69, wide receiver 29, but he's been sidelined recently with some hamstring problems. He wasn't in some practices. He missed the final game of the season or the final preseason game of the season. There's kind of some mixed things coming out about if he'll even play this weekend or not. So he says he feels great, but then the Saints head coach, Dennis Allen, is like, no, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. It might be like an up to a game time decision. So if you do have Michael Thomas, be on the lookout for that. It might be like right up to the game that they announce it. A lot of people picked up Chris Olave, their rookie wide receiver. I talked about him earlier sometime during the summer, during the draft. He's ADP 105 right now, wide receiver 43. And then, of course, Jarvis Landry, who is returning as a wide receiver. He's ADP 143. And then, of course, they got Jameis Winston, who has kind of been, you know, he's getting kind of hot, moving up the ranks a little. So, yeah, I think that's going to be interesting. And I feel like it sucks. I know there's some mixed sentiment on Michael Thomas. I personally love the guy. I want him to do well and succeed. So it kind of sucks for me to see him get injured over and over again. Regardless, I feel like with wide receivers, the Saints are in good hands, especially compared to the Falcons. So any of these three guys, I feel like they're in a good position. If you have them on your team, you are blessed.
Sorry, it's not even that. My headphones keep cutting in and out. So, yeah, let's jump down to yours, Gladys. Sorry, everybody. So you want to talk a little about another wide receiver one situation. It's DK Metcalf connecting over with Geno Smith against Denver. So what's your thoughts there?
Okay, so I don't have – I had no Geno Metcalf. I didn't draft Metcalf in any of the drafts I have. And the reason is – Geno Smith and Drew Lock. That's two of the reasons. And also, I'm not sure that if Metcalf is that great a receiver or he was just in that great a situation with Russell Wilson, right? So he was – last year, Seattle was 20th in passing percentage, and they averaged – they have were the 32nd in averaging pass attempts per game, and that was with Russell Wilson. So with Geno Smith then, I don't see that number increasing – at all. And if anything, it's going to cut deeply, not in half, maybe a third of that. Are they going to let Geno pass the ball? And he's behind a really bad offensive line. So he's going to be dinking it, which isn't Metcalf. That's Tyler Lockett's area of expertise. I just want to see if Metcalf was a product of Wilson or he is just if he can succeed in Pete Carroll's offense, because they just signed him to a big contract. So he really has nowhere else to go. I mean, he's not going to get out of there or he shouldn't with the contract that he signed. So, you just want to stay because the money's good, but I don't see him getting 129 targets this year. I don't see him getting 27.3% of the target share. I don't think the target share is going to be that big. And I don't see him ending up. He was a wide receiver 14 with Russell Wilson last year. I don't see him in the top 20. I don't think he's going to finish in the top 20 in wide receivers or fantasy.
Any thoughts on that, Keelan, for Metcalf?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Gladys. I also had him last year in – I think I had him in one of my dynasty leagues and it was very painful. I picked him up thinking like, yeah. And then Russell Wilson, once he was gone, I was like, this was not good. So yeah, I feel like we've had time to like experiment and play around with that a little. And I think you're spot on. So that'll be very, very interesting.
I wanted to ask Keelan a question. I drafted with a guy and he said that he thinks Michael Thomas has lost his passion for the game. Like, that he's there, but he doesn't have the passion that he had when he started out. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
I don't know. I mean, I could see that being true just because of all he's been through. And then quite frankly, I mean, you lose Sean Payton and Drew Brees and he was Drew Brees's, one of his guys. So I could see that being, you know, even if he hadn't beforehand, now I could see him certainly doing that. All of the injuries kind of scare me for the most part. So I could see it. It seems like he's been a good leader for Chris Olave. So that's exciting. But
okay,
I don't know. I want the best for him.
That's a good question. I mean, and he's got a lot of talent around. Maybe the Landry Olave thing kind of gives him a little bit more juice because, like, he basically was all by himself in that receiving core. Now he's got guys. He's got other guys to kind of incentivize. Now they're competing with each other a little bit. Who's going to be the top guy? Because Landry is a forgotten man in this situation. And this guy has only commanded, like, 130 targets in 5 of 8 seasons. So I think that maybe that'll infuse, but that's a great question. Because as soon as Jameis starts airmailing some passes, I can see Michael Thomas checking out real quick. So not a big deal there. I'm going to jump down to my next one. It's actually, can Baker cook the Browns? listen, if Baker Mayfield can't get up for the Browns game, I'm out for the rest of the season. I'm sorry. This is a week one. First of all, Russell Wilson playing Seattle and then Baker playing them and Joe Flacco playing the Ravens. I mean, wow, NFL, well played. That's awesome. But listen, Baker, for the most part, when I was looking at him, you know, he's been on a very conservative offense. His rookie season was very exciting. He looked very good his rookie year. He was in a different coaching staff with Freddie Kitchens running the show as OC. And then the disaster started with Freddie Kitchens as head coach. And then Kevin Stefanski's been very conservative with the running game and has not thrown a lot over the last few years. So we haven't seen that happen. With Ben McAdoo, former Giants player, Giants fan, obviously, Ben McAdoo will chuck it, man. They are going to throw a bunch more than he's ever done before. And listen, if Baker shows out, let's say he goes out there and dominates Cleveland, and there could be room for optimism. DJ Moore, obviously, and CMC, of course, on everybody, on teams everywhere. But there's a lot of value out there. I mean, Robbie Anderson's not drafted by people. Maybe some other guy emerges. Maybe a tight end emerges. I'm not sure. But I think that if Baker could show me something against the Browns, he could become a 2 QB target at some point because of that pass volume. So I'm excited to see what Baker can do. Now, there was supposed to be a fourth on this show. So you know what? Ben, shout out. Paul Blake. My apologies. Paul Blake, you know, not being on the show today, but he did want to talk about Davante Adams, Davante Adams-less Packers. So, Glass, I'm going to kick it down to you first. What are you looking for out of the Packers this in week one without Davante Adams?
Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of Aaron Jones, lots of A.J. Dillon. I think it's going to be a rude awakening for that offense. Aaron Jones all day. AJ Dillon, I think is a good bet. Any of the wide receivers, the Romeo kid, Romeo Doubs, is that how you pronounce his last name? Mm-hmm. Rodgers has been talking him up, but I don't trust anything Rodgers says. I really don't. And I think that he's trying to make it seem that, you know, he can handle it without Adams, that he made Adams, Adams didn't make him. And I'm not sure that's true. Adams is, he's a superior. He runs well. He separates pretty well. I mean, he commanded such a large share of those targets that I don't see any of those wide receivers. I hope Alan Lazard does. I love Alan Lazard and I hope that he takes it up, but I don't know. What did he have, that soft tissue injury last year in his stomach or something? Yeah. And he's been out for the preseason for a bit because of an injury that they're undisclosing. So, Aaron Jones, people. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, all day. Yeah.
Now, Keelan, he also wanted to bring up the Kevin O'Connell, Kirk Cousins reunion in Minnesota. Of course, Kirk Cousins played with Kevin O'Connell back in with the Commanders, if you will, back in the day. So my question is, like, I know there's a lot of excitement around Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen's probably one of the guys I have on almost every team. You know, you got Irv Smith. What are your thoughts on this connection? Are you excited? Are you buying the Vikings in 2022?
I don't know that buying, but I'm not buying. Whereas traditionally I would have been like, no. I also picked up Adam Thielen as well. So I am excited for that. And I do believe a little bit of the hype. I mean, this is going to sound bad, but it's Kirk Cousins. So it is kind of like, there's not, hopefully you can't do worse in that situation. Right. I mean, you could theoretically. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, slight buy, but I'm not like, yeah, here they come. They're going to win a lot more.
Like, yeah, no, I like slight buy is the theme of the whole show today. All right, slight buy for Kirk Cousins, slight buy for Al Lazard, but really we're buying those Packers RBs. But that's all we have for today. First of all, I want to thank both my co-hosts today. Really appreciate you guys jumping on to talk about the NFC, basically the tape, what to watch for in week one. Don't worry about it. She's going to get docked. She's in trouble. I'll talk to corporate. Corporate Razzball is going to be real angry about this. No, it's all good. We all forgive you. I'm over here. I'm losing. I found out what the problem was. I have a fantasy draft going over here. My headphones were connected to two laptops at once, and it kept kicking. Every time my pick would come up, it would hit this chime, and my headphones would go off. So I'm like, oh, so you know what? Complete disaster once again. Once again, the greatest host ever, Bobby Lamarco. Love every second. But make sure you follow us. Hey, if you like the madness and you want to see us more, go to the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Make sure you're checking us out on IG and TikTok. And of course, make sure you go to Razzball.com DraftKings.com for all the great articles, tools that you need to win your fantasy. Once again, I want to thank my co-host, Keelan. Follow her at Keelan_12ft on Twitter. And Gladys, you can follow her on Twitter at Gladys L. Tyler. We are out of here.